You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that covers everything from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. Hi Tom. I'm Josh.
I'm Sam.
I'm Cody.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first, let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
Check it out!
No clips this week. We don't need clips this week.
I was just thinking we should change it from Pop and Geek Culture Show to the Poppin' Geek Culture Show.
Yeah, the Poppin' Lockin' Show.
Yeah. I think it's got a hipper sound. We'll get a younger demographic.
That's right. Yep, that's it. So
and my bones turn to dust just hearing it.
All right, so yeah, some things we've been checking out. I haven't done a ton. I have been checking out the reality show Forged in Fire on Netflix.
The blacksmithing show.
The blacksmithing show. I've been watching
that. That was on History Channel.
It was.
I think.
And I've been just kind of barreling through these things in a Great British Bake Off style, just kind of clip. It's really good. I mean, every episode is almost exactly the same.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's all forging metal into different shapes.
Yeah. But like the style of knives, they're pretty cool. They kind of hand wave at a little bit of history because the whole thing is the first round, you have four blacksmiths. They come in, they're told, okay, make this particular knife or make your own knife out of these weird bits and pieces. Like they had someone, they like gave them a riding lawnmower and said, okay, find enough metal, usable metal off of this thing and make a knife. Go do it. You have 3 hours. Go do it.
Make the lawn blade.
Yeah. Kinda. Yeah.
Bane of grasses.
First of its name.
Yes. But then they, you know, they go through a couple of eliminations and then they are told, okay, now go back to your home forge for 5 days. Here is a sword from history. Go make this sword from history. and you know, they do clips of, you know, how everything's done and they hand wave some history about, you know, oh, it's Napoleon's sword that, you know, it was thin and it kind of curved up and he was real good at cutting people's heads off. And then they come back and like judge it by like slashing at a pig carcass or a ballistics dummy.
Like the freaking Cold Steel guys.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And then they try to beat on it with like a hammer or something to see if it breaks. And usually some of them break. But it's a fun show. It's interesting to see blacksmithing. I think it's fascinating. I don't think I would ever be any good at it, but it has made me think about, maybe I should take like a knife making class.
There's a place in Columbus. I think it's called like the Works or something. Mm-hmm. It's a little, you know, kind of workshop community.
It's like a makerspace kind of
thing.
Yeah,
it's
right?
A makerspace. Yeah. And yeah. I guess they have blacksmithing classes and stuff.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. If I were to make a knife, it would be a Damascus style. That's the one where they have like the swirlies mm-hmm. in it because they've like twisted the two different kinds of metal into it and then like acid etched it. These are terms that I would have never known what any of that means, but no, it's an interesting show. It's on Netflix and watched all 27 episodes in a very short amount of time.
I was flipping through all my streaming services looking for something to watch and I saw a glass blowing reality show and I thought I'd probably watch that.
Oh no, that's Jordan and I have said that might be the next. That might be the next big one, is the glass-blowing show.
Yeah, that looks cool enough.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Glass-blowing is interesting.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, I've watched a blast-glowing video once or twice in my time.
Maybe it's got that Chihuly guy with the eye patch.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah.
I got a real quick one, too, because I really didn't do a lot either.
Yeah, go for it.
So we watched the first couple episodes of No Game, No Life, an anime on Netflix.
I know I have, and I don't remember any of it.
I am not even 100% sure I like it. There are some aspects of it that are really weird and make me uncomfortable.
That's probably why I don't remember it. I probably blocked it out. Do they live in a storage container, or am I thinking of a different show?
I don't know if it's a storage container. It just kind of looks like a one-room apartment full of monitors.
Okay.
But they're, like, I don't know, really good at games? Like, the sister has, like, genius level, like, I don't know, like, brain computing capacity or whatever, and he has charisma, I guess? I don't know. There's a lot of chess references.
It's weird.
Yeah, like, I guess in this fantasy world they get sucked into, where the god of games basically took over, and so every aspect of the of life in the world is decided by games. Like, war, everything is...
Reboot. This is Reboot.
Kinda, except, like, there's, like, a whole thing where, like, any kind of major decision or bartering or anything is done by games, and it could be anything. It could be rock, paper, scissors. It could be poker. It could be chess. But just the two parties have to agree on the game or whatever. It's really, like, in the first couple episodes, you see, like, people playing poker. You see people playing literally rock, paper, scissors.
You could settle your divorce with Quake 3 Arena, is what you're saying. Unreal Tournament.
And there's, like, these giant chess pieces in the background. And I guess, like, the god of games lives in one of them or something. I don't know. It's really weird. Oh, and the world is called Disboard. Like, Disboard Game.
Wow, that's...
Oh, that's... Yeah, I don't think I like this.
No.
Yeah, and, like, the animation's really weird, too. Like, it's... There aren't a lot of hard lines, and what lines are drawn are a really bright color.
Mm.
Oh, and then this brother-sister end up beating somebody in a chess match and become... the king and queen of this human country or whatever.
Yeah, no, this sounds like an anti-recommend.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm not sure how I feel about it. Like, it's...
No, judging by the way you're talking, I think I can tell how you feel about it.
Like, technically speaking, it's very interesting to look at.
Mm.
That's about where I feel on it. I don't know, I might finish it just to say I did.
I watched The Mitchells versus the Machines.
Yeah, how was that?
I was wanting to watch... I remember seeing the original trailer for it.
Yeah, when it was called Connected.
Yeah,
when it was going to go to theaters. And I was like, oh, I kind of like that. I want to watch that.
It is very, very good. It's extremely well done. I mean, it's like a family story about a girl who's about to go off to college. And a last-ditch attempt to bond with his daughter. The dad makes the whole family go on a... road trip to drop her off at school.
Yeah.
And then the robot machine apocalypse happens during this road trip. And it's really well written. It's really funny. It looks great. The animation is very cartoony.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of stills of this thing. And I remember the original trailer as well. It looks really,
like,
good.
And, like, actions and things are, like, the little 2D animations are alongside the 3D animations to, like... kind of put you in the headspace of the girl.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So it looks really cool and has neat little flourishes like that. All the characters are very well written. Like, every member of the family kind of has an arc,
mm-hmm.
and feels like a person instead of just like...
a character.
A cheap... Yeah. Like, try to think of a cartoon family that has a mom character that gets to do anything... at all that's not Linda Belcher.
Well, yeah. Or just has a mom character.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases. But yeah. Oh, interesting.
And
interesting.
Really, yeah, the mom is good. Every character is well developed and fun and funny.
Cool.
I absolutely loved it.
Is that where that image of the Furby comes from?
Yes.
Okay.
There are Furbies in it, and I really don't want to spoil it because it's very funny.
Okay. All right.
Like, I remember seeing the original trailer for it, and it looked kind of like just like a standard, like, daughter's kind of used to be like daddy's little girl, but they're kind of like grown apart or whatever.
And that's what the story is, but it's better than that. The original trailer was really didn't do it
justice.
I remember the original trailer made it seem as though it's like the overarching story is, oh, these young kids and their technology, I will show them that technology is actually a bad thing because I'm old.
I mean, it has elements of that, but they soften the dad character enough to where he doesn't come off as a just total jerk.
Okay, because that's kind of what the trailer initially had set up a little bit.
I mean, it's done by Lord and Miller. And if you
it's gonna be,
if you like those guys' stuff, then this will be also right up your alley.
Awesome.
But it's one of the better animated movies I've seen in a long time.
Cool.
Well, so the animation style kind of reminded me of kind of like a Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and
that was them
Hotel Transylvania just a little bit.
Yeah, and I love that. I love when they, if they're going to do 3D, I love it when they actually make it look like cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not
give people weird shapes.
Yeah.
And not your standard CGI kind of look of things.
Like, yeah, let's make it look like real people, but not really.
Right.
Or, you know, you could go the other aspect of it, and where B-movie, everyone looks like, you know, some kind of monstrosity.
Yeah, like, I don't care for the way Pixar does it. They have a house style, and mm-hmm. it's not far enough one way or the other.
It was so good, safe. You know what? It was good to start off with, but now it's too samey.
Although Soul was really good.
Mm.
I still haven't watched that.
Their characters looked cartoony, and it was some of the best cartoon representations of African American people that I've ever seen.
Oh wow.
Like they weren't exaggerated in a way that was like kind of racist like a lot of times happens.
Yeah.
Like it was really good.
Oh good. Good. Hey, the other day you mentioned you also watched Psycho Goreman.
Oh yes,
finally.
I did.
Yeah. So let's take a minute and talk about that, because now I can talk to someone about Psycho Goreman.
It's probably one of my favorite movies I've ever seen now.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought that was going to be the answer.
Yeah.
It's
very funny and very, the practical effects are amazing and fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the movie lives and dies by its practical effects.
Yeah.
It really feels like an homage, just this side of parody, but an homage to the 80s, like going to the video store, getting a weird VHS off the shelf.
Yeah.
With cool art and going, oh, what's this thing? Yeah.
And it's
feels like that.
And it's this schlocky garbage.
It's very much like Screamin' Mad George meets the Power Rangers.
And yes, that's a lot of it. Yeah, yeah.
Which Screamin' Mad George, like, props if anybody gets that reference.
Oh, that reminds me. I actually rewatched Freaked the other day. The Alex Winter movie from the 90s.
Oh, I need to watch that.
Oh, man, it's super good. I mean, it's super bad, but it's super good. Uncredited Keanu Reeves as Ortiz the dog boy. I've talked about Freaked on the show before, yeah. So I won't go into it, but, like, yeah, the effects and like a lot of the animation in that is claymation animation, like the transformation sequences where they are turned into like the freaks. It's like their bodies turn into weird clay blobs that swirl around and stuff like that. And I mean, the movie is a little mean-spirited in the way that early to mid 90s alternative comedy movies kind of tend to be. But
it just comes with the territory.
Yeah, it comes with the territory. And I forgot that the guy. OK, so in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, the two comedy relief pirates, skinny guy and big guy.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot big guy got his start working with Alex Winter on a bunch of projects. And he is in Freaked as the Human Torch. And he is a guy who just constantly farts fire nonstop. But yeah. So anyway, yeah. But back to Psycho Goreman. Pass the bloodles. All the effects are great in there. The humor, the dry humor is fantastic.
Yeah, it's like a very good combination of dry humor and like absurdist.
Yes. Yep.
Like the dad character is just full on like absurdist stuff.
Oh, he has the worst advice.
Yeah.
In any given situation.
And he's just like just a total piece of garbage.
Oh, he's terrible.
He's lazy
yeah.
and terrible.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's pretty bad. The fight scene with Psycho Goreman's lackeys that come to Earth.
That was probably the best part of the whole movie. Yeah,
yeah. That was the most Power Ranger-y of the bunch, except for all the excessive violence.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like it's called Psycho Goreman for a reason. Like there's plenty of gore. So,
mm-hmm.
although like it's not like it's realistic.
No, it's cartoony. It's cartoonish gore. It's like, yeah, it's...
But it's so gross.
Mm.
I love a good blood spray in a movie.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like all of those aliens have high pressure. Like
they have really high blood pressure.
They're like super soakers that have just been pumped up to the point where just full to burst.
like if your gore is so over the top like that, then
it stops being realistic, yeah, and it just starts being funny.
It doesn't gross me out. It cracks me up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like, what's like Toxic Avenger level?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's very much a kind of on the same level as original Toxic Avenger. For sure.
His hunky boys.
Not my hunky boys.
Samantha and I were trying to find like a good horror movie to watch on Shudder the other night. Mm-hmm. And I picked something and it cut directly to the trauma Lloyd Kaufman and was it Michael Herz present in the skyline.
Oh, no.
And I immediately went, well, no, not this one.
Oh, come on. They're... I mean, Uncle Lloydy.
I love trauma movies, but you have to be in a certain
mood. You do have to be in a mood.
That's not what we were looking for at
that
time.
That's fair. That's very fair.
I think that was the problem when I ran into like Sergeant Kabuki, and when I watched it, I was like,
I love Sergeant Kabuki, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I like thinking back on it, I like it, but at the time I was like, I'm not sure I like this movie.
Sergeant Kabuki, man, had an identity crisis. It didn't know what it wanted to be. It didn't know if it wanted to be kind of a goofy kids movie or a trauma movie. So it tried to be both. And
those things don't go together.
They don't. They're yeah, they're like oil and water
with nudity,
with copious nudity. Yes. Yes.
It almost like Troll 2 almost felt that way. Like it was intended to be a kids movie, but some wires got crossed.
Some of that
somewhere.
Stuff is just not. Yeah.
Because then you got like Corn Witch and like.
Yep.
I don't watch that one in a while, but.
Oh man, Troll 2.
I don't think I need to though either.
Neil Cobb, it's goblins spelled backwards. This is their kingdom.
And the stuff like that, it's like, oh, maybe this is a kid's movie.
Right.
No, but then you get to the part where the trolls are eating the mom.
Do you want some, Joshua?
And they're going to eat me.
Oh, my
God. Oh, so stupid.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of stupid movies, I watched a, movie. I'm not sure if it's for kids or for adults. made back in the 80s called Eliminators.
Oh,
I showed you the trailer for this before. I don't want to spoil it too much because this is definitely like movie night fodder. Like you guys got to see this to believe it, but it's basically the story of this mad scientist that has built a time machine and he has been sending his own personal assistant who is also a half man, half robot through time and things happen. Things happen. That's
things
all.
Happen.
Yeah.
Man, that cyborg android guy in the trailer is the most ridiculous dumb thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, with his tank treads, yeah. Legs. Yeah,
a man with humongous tank treads, like way too big.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's not like Johnny Five. It's like.
Is that the guy he sent back in time?
Yes.
How he's going to stand out like a sore thumb.
Of course he is. Also, there's a point where the mad scientist at the beginning of the movie complained to him because he wanted Manborg to bring back some kind of actual proof that he's going back in time, and Manborg keeps bringing back cavemen. It's like, no, I need a thing, not a person. So at one point they're in the woods and there's just like a tribe of cavemen that they've never taken back to their own time. They just kind of released to the woods outside the compound.
What
and
else are you gonna
and
do?
There's just a bunch of cavemen hanging around. There's a ninja that shows up. There's a Roman centurion that gets blasted by a robot man.
Like the whole thing, it just looks like they took like half a mannequin and stuck it on a giant remote controlled tread.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like the way, like when he goes, like in the trailer, when he went down the stairs and the way it shakes and stuff.
Yeah, he almost fell out of the thing.
I thought of another movie I watched.
Go for it.
I watched one of the Lupin movies.
Oh, Oh, yeah.
Like one of them from the 80s. It's The Secret of Gold Babylon.
Okay. Mm.
It was weird.
Sure.
Because it was one of the weird ones. It's like,
yeah.
Miyazaki's not on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about like him trying to find the gold treasure in the Tower of Babel.
Okay.
And there's
I thought part of the whole story of the Tower of Babel was it was destroyed.
Well, in this movie, God went to pick it up, and he dropped it in where modern-day New York is.
Oh, well.
Yeah, by accident.
Okay,
God's always, you know.
Oops, Butterfingers.
Yeah.
Well, if we know one thing about God, he is fallible and,
yeah.
and is prone to comedic foibles.
But it also turns out, like, aliens, too.
Okay,
like,
all right.
Like, so maybe it was aliens that picked it up, like. Ancient alien theorists believe, but it was really like kind of weak, weird story like that.
Yeah.
It was more an excuse to have Lupin get chased around a lot in fun and interesting ways.
I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with
Lupin
that.
The third.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
always getting chased.
And, yeah. the animation's really bouncy and fun, and the chase sequences are fun to watch.
Well, then
because of it, so like
no complaints.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I mean, I always love Lupin. I don't think I've ever seen a piece of Lupin media I did not like.
No, and they redubbed it with the cast of character of Lupin that people most people know.
Yeah,
the Adult Swim cast, and they do a good job.
Is that the one with Tony Oliver?
Yeah,
with Power Rangers producer and Green Ranger namesake Tony Oliver.
Yes, as
yes.
the voice of Lupin, he is Lupin to me.
Mm-hmm.
That voice is Lupin. Like, it's to the point where, like, I prefer the dub on Lupin because they do such a good job.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I didn't explain Lupin the Third is a world-famous thief character who steals... gentleman thief who globetrots and steals things and is chased by Interpol policeman Zenigata. And he has a gang of criminals with, you know, specific talents that he works with.
The swordsman, the gunsman, and then the girl.
Lady.
The girl, yeah.
yeah.
Although I love Fujiko. Her character, like, yeah, she's a sexy lady character, but she's like the kind of character that uses that to her advantage
right.
and gets power from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes her more of a fun character because
yeah, she's
of
kinda
it.
Like, she's definitely got like a kind of like a Catwoman without like, you know,
cat theme.
Without the cat theme.
And she'll get one over on Lupin more often than not.
and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get into some news.
Hey, everybody. We're back. That was Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty. Anyway, we played that because we have Night Court related news. And that's the closest you can get to the Night Court theme. While still being an actual song that's more than a minute long.
Yeah, yeah. It's either that or the saxophone guy from
Lost Boys.
Lost Boys.
Yeah. and epic- now I have that picture
yeah.
in my
the
head.
Epic, uh-huh, the epic uh-huh. sax man.
Yep, yep. All right, so hey, let's go ahead and get into the news.
No,
still nothing.
I'm thinking now we definitely need Rick doing.
Yeah, that, on the soundboard.
Yeah, on
yeah,
the soundboard.
That might be. Yeah, that might pop up eventually.
I mean, there's definitely some good jokes you could pull from that show.
Yeah. So hey, Night Court is coming back. It's a thing that is happening.
We've run out of things to bring back, and we finally scraped down to Night Court, everybody.
You know what? Night Court is a great
show.
Yeah,
actually, I've heard nothing but good things about Night Court.
It's a super good show. I remember watching a lot of Night Court on like TV Land and stuff like that. So I don't know if they're getting the entire cast back. From what I understand, I know they are getting... I just had the guy's name. I'm going to have to look it up real quick.
Michael Dorn.
It's not Michael.
That's just the first name that popped into my head.
Worf.
Worf from Night Court.
Worf. Yes, Worf. Worf is the new bailiff in Night Court.
No, Worf is the judge.
Judge Worf.
I'd watch that shit. I'd watch Judge Worf.
You were talking about Worf so much, I got on IMDb and started typing in Worf.
Your argument is weak and has no honor.
Okay, so
I sentence you to battle.
Battle in the court of night. Yeah. Okay, so John Larroquette, who kind of got his one of his big breaks on the original Night Court, is actually coming back and is going to be one of the lawyers. The original thing on the original Night Court, he was like a big shot. He thought he was a big shot lawyer, but was stuck doing like night courts. Yeah, basically. And the theory is after Night Court, the show, the original show ended, he went on to become a big time city New York lawyer and got in trouble for something and has been kicked back down to the Night Court.
Guess what? You're back
in the Night Court. And so the actor who played the judge, Harry Anderson, he passed away a few years ago, but they've cast I think her name is Michelle Roche. I think that's her name.
That sounds right.
Yeah, she played Bernadette on The Big Bang Theory. She is going to be playing the new judge and also Harry Anderson's daughter in this. And a lot of it's going to come down to Larroquette and new judge kind of butting heads and stuff.
She's the Big Bang Theory that's not Harley Quinn and not Maya Bialik.
Yeah, not Blossom.
Yeah.
but no, I'm excited for a new Night Court. I'm curious to see how many of the original cast they'll have come back in, like, you know,
some capacity.
Marky Post is still around. She was one of the She was one of the lawyers. She a lot of times filled the role that kind of butted heads with John Larroquette from the original series. Bull,
the bailiff.
Yeah. Richard Mole, the big tall man. Bull from Night Court. He's not doing anything. He can come back.
I still want Worf Court.
Worf Court would be great, yes.
You must battle with a Nyaktaraj. That was my attempt at fake Klingon. I hope it was pretty close.
I was going to say either that was Klingon or you just spoke backwards.
Yeah, it's about the same.
Yeah.
I realize I just took a bit from the Aqua Teen. When Frylock builds that supercomputer and he names it something in Klingon and it's like Oogie Miktaj.
Yes.
I basically just said that really fast.
Yeah. That's fine. So hearing about Night Court actually got me thinking about old sitcoms from like TV Land era, or, you know, even when we were like kids or whatever. What were some of the ones that you guys watched? Like, because I know everybody watched some sitcoms.
Oh,
just
man.
Kind of the thing.
I don't know. I mostly didn't watch things if they weren't animated.
Fair. That's fair.
Let's see here. I used to watch a lot of I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, I love Bewitched. This has been a known quantity on this show.
Yeah. Bewitched is pretty great. Yep.
I did watch a fair bit of Rhoda.
Rhoda? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's just because it was on. I don't think it was because I necessarily liked the character or something.
I think most people watch sitcoms just because they're on.
Yeah, I mean, my TV rarely left Nick.
Yeah.
When I was younger, so when Nick at Night came along, that was a lot of stuff I was watching.
Yeah.
Although even I wouldn't watch Hey Dude. I would change the channel on Hey Dude
as well. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'd probably play like a video game until Hey Dude was over.
It's a little wild and a little strange.
Yeah.
So I could watch Salute Your Shorts.
When you make your home out on the range.
Did you hear the Paramount app has every single episode of Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Oh,
on it.
No.
There's like three seasons of 44 episodes each. There's over 100 episodes of Legends of the Hidden Temple
of
on
kids
there.
Not being able to put that monkey together
and,
right.
And Kurt Fogg like putting them on those children on the spot in like really awkward ways.
I've probably seen every single one.
I
of
have,
them.
Yes. Yes.
Man, don't make me want to get Paramount Plus any more than I already kind of do.
I know, right? Yeah. Tell them what they've won, Olmec.
Olmec.
You get moon shoes.
Like I
and a $20 gift certificate to Taco Bell
and a
something.
Trip to Universal Studios where you
already
right
are
now.
Already are.
I mean, I've heard some stuff about like like behind the scenes stuff about that show, like a lot of the prizes weren't fulfilled.
Oh, and it was rigged too.
It was pretty rigged.
It was super rigged.
They would put a lot of the more athletic kids on like one specific team more times than not.
Yeah, it was like the Jaguars or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those temple guards could show up just like wherever they wanted.
Did you know that was D. Bradley Baker, the voice of Olmec?
I'm not surprised. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I never did watch that little movie they made not too long ago.
It was probably bad.
Probably. I did not hear very good things, although Kirk Fogg did show up. But getting back to old TV sitcoms and stuff, I watched a lot of Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah. Watched a lot of that. Watched a lot of one of my favorite episodes is the one where they do the funeral for the clown. There was like a Bozo the Clown type character.
Oh, I don't remember that
was
that
on there.
One.
Okay, so on this episode, there's a Bozo the Clown type character who had passed away. And Mary Tyler Moore, every time it came up, couldn't stop laughing because the clown died in kind of a weird, funny way. So they're sitting at the funeral and they're talking about, you know, all this clown stuff. And she's having a hard time
keeping
it together. And everyone's like, hey, come on, stop, you know, whatever. And the pastor tells her, no, he would have wanted you to laugh. So go on, you can go on, laugh. And then she bursts out crying. It's kind of, yeah, you know, it's kind of one of those kind of things. But yeah, one of the better episodes. WKRP in Cincinnati, talking about radio.
I mean, I've watched an episode here or there. I'm like, I didn't follow it super hard, but I remember seeing it.
The Thanksgiving episode is great because they did like a turkey drop from a helicopter. And whoever set it up didn't realize that turkeys don't fly. So they were basically dive bombing live turkeys all over Cincinnati. And this guy runs into the studio and goes, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
I remember being
like,
bored.
Oh, the humanity, the turkeys, they're just dropping from the sky.
I remember being bored when MASH was on.
I liked MASH.
I'm sure it's a great show.
As a kid, I didn't care for MASH all that much. I've watched a lot of MASH here in the last couple of years, and it's really good.
I'm sure it's fantastic.
I mean,
but then you get
the episodes near the end where
its spinoff after MASH is not very good.
Where what's this? The guy who played Hawkeye.
Alda.
Yeah, when he became the director and made like really serious.
It got really serious there near the end.
Yeah,
yeah. That wasn't as much fun.
It is. It is Vietnam, though.
Korean.
So.
Yeah, it's the Korean War.
Why do you think it was Vietnam? Oh, well.
Because it was an Asian war.
Yeah.
And they happened really close to each other.
Yeah. But no, MASH was really good. I've said on the show multiple times, I've watched almost every, not of my own choosing, but I have watched every episode of Full House.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That is a part of my brain that I wish I could cut it out.
Oh.
Got it.
You're fired.
That's fair.
Oh, my Lanta. That's a thing from that.
That is an Oh, my Lanta. Yeah. Yeah.
What was it that the Olsen?
Somebody Olsen. Stop me. No, yeah. That's the mask.
Smoking.
You know. You got it, dude.
Yeah, that's the one I couldn't think of. You got it, dude.
Yep.
I always thought it was kind of weird, like how Bob Saget was like the host of America's Funniest Home Videos, and then after he left, they got Dave Coulier in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they had Coulier has nothing better to do,
other than breaking up with
Alanis Morissette
and making her mad.
Yeah.
But hey, he's immortalized in a song about their breakup.
Not everybody can say
themselves. Not many people can say that. Yeah.
Unless you dated Taylor Swift.
Well,
anyway.
I remember when Fuller House came out and everybody was like freaking out about it. And I'm like, well, I'll give it a shot. Sure.
Oh, it's garbage.
And I watched like maybe 2 minutes and I'm like, oh, I hate this.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's terrible. And guess what? It's very much like the original, but also winking at the camera constantly. And it's the worst. Just the worst. Family Matters. Love some of that TGIF stuff.
Yeah. Well, Dinosaurs, but
Urkel Goes to Space.
Oh, Dinosaurs is so good.
Dinosaurs was very good.
It's like a legitimately very well-written and good show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember some of the weirder ones. Like, LL Cool J had a show for, like, a season where he played an injured football player that had to live in an apartment in the projects, and hilarity ensued.
Remember the PJs?
I was just getting ready to say that.
The PJs.
As soon as you said projects, I thought of the PJs.
Yep. Yep, I remember the PJs
as well.
I'll
bet that doesn't hold up.
No.
No, definitely not.
It does not.
No, no. All right, well, hey, do we want to move on to some other stuff here? We've been waxing nostalgic for long enough.
The PJs was definitely a show I would watch because it was on before, like, The Simpsons and Futurama.
Yep, that's it. That is it.
The fact that Futurama had a PJs reference in an episode.
Oh, it did, didn't it?
Yeah, it was the manhole cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when they went down to the sewer to go visit the mutants or something.
Yep. You know, I'll be honest, that's how I started watching King of the Hill, solely because it was on before The Simpsons. I mean, it ended up being, you know, a good show.
Yeah.
But that's how I started with it. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll watch this.
I think
it's
I started
fine.
Watching it because Mike Judge was doing it, and I was like, oh, I love Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
I was not allowed to watch Beavis and Butthead as a child.
I mean, I wasn't either, but it didn't stop me.
Same.
And now as an adult, I love Beavis and Butthead. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I know Mike Judge more from Office Space than Beavis and Butthead just because I didn't grow up with it as much.
Oh, and that show, The Good Family, that he did, that's like left wing.
I've never watched that one.
I caught like 10 minutes of it on Shout Factory TV on Twitch. It is terrible.
Really?
Yeah, it's real bad.
Mm. Hmm.
It doesn't have the same. It doesn't have the heart King of the Hill does. It feels way more mean-spirited for some reason.
Well, you'll have that, I suppose. Anyway, yeah, let's move on to some other news. Pick something from the big board there, guys.
Marvels.
Yeah, Marvel stuff.
Marvel things. Okay, so Marvel, they put out like a video, right?
Yeah, it was like a little trailer.
Yeah, releasing with a bunch of release dates for a lot of their upcoming...
For the new Marvel phase of stuff.
Their next phase of things.
What phase are we on now?
Like, this is like four?
Four?
I think this is four, technically.
No, I think this is five.
Four. I'm pretty sure that this is four, because phase one ended with Avengers...
Phase two ended with Age of Ultron.
No, phase two ended with Guardians 1.
Mm.
Fun fact, we're 9 years out from the Avengers.
Oh.
That was 9 years ago.
Oh.
Thor was 10 years ago. Thor happened a decade ago.
Oh, Thor is a decade old. My gosh.
Wow. Really?
Wow. Wow. That's hard to fathom.
Hey, remember when the Hulk movie came out and we were working at the comic shop together?
Yeah.
And we painted those Hulk models.
We sat in this shop and painted the Hulk models all day. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start with some of these here. Black Widow has finally landed July 9th, 2021. You think it's going to get moved again?
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yes.
I mean, it was supposed to be in theaters a long time ago.
Like a year and a half ago.
The movie's been done forever.
Yeah. They've had plenty of time to tweak things if they need to fix anything.
Yeah, it better be the best one.
Yeah.
But also the fact that it's going to go to Disney Plus with Premier Access, and it just makes me mad.
Yeah, and everybody knows that Premier Access is bullcrap.
Yeah, no, I will find alternative means to watch this movie. I will not pay $30 extra just for the option to watch it for like a couple of days.
Like,
that's ridiculous.
30 is way too much.
Oh, God, so
20
much.
20 would be pushing it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, 15... I could see 15.
At the same time, though, when we went to theaters and bought tickets, I wasn't
paying $30 in a theater.
I was.
Yeah. If it was 20, I would at least think about it.
If it were 20, I would go, but not get any snacks.
True.
Yeah. Usually, when I go to the movies, it ends up costing me like $17.
Yeah.
I'm not a big movie snack guy, really.
I'll get a popcorn and a pop if the movie's relatively cheap. But if it's like one of the big, like, you know, $10, $15
like
ticket,
an AMC.
I'm not going to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, and along with this, Scarlett Johansson confirmed that the movie takes place between Captain America Civil War and Avengers Infinity War. So
I mean, it has to.
Yeah,
it has to. But I mean, there was some kind of discrepancy on where exactly this thing was going to fall. But that's definitely where it's going to land. So that's cool.
I hope Florence Pugh is really good in it.
I hope so.
She's good.
Because she's going to be the Black Widow moving forward.
Yeah.
She's kind of filling, you know, going to be filling that role from here on out,
I suppose. She was good in Midsommar.
Mm-hmm.
And also Rachel Weisz is in this movie. I didn't realize that.
Rachel Weisz and David Harbour.
Oh, I forgot about David Harbour.
He's going to be great as the Red Guardian. He's going to be so great.
Hopefully better than he was as Hellboy.
Big fat Russian yeah. Captain old, America.
Old, retired Soviet Captain America.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Though it will be interesting how they explain Taskmaster's powers.
Yeah. I'm hoping by the end of the movie, Taskmaster has a better costume.
Yeah, I don't like his stupid paintball mask.
Yeah, it's dumb. Give him his skeleton mask and his stupid cape and a shield and bows and arrows and all of the weird stuff.
I saw a couple trailers where he does have a shield. At one point, he does have a bow and arrow.
That's cool. That's cool, at least. Okay, so September 3rd of this year, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. We talked about the trailer last week.
Looks good.
Yeah. Looks good.
Yeah, I mean, I want my Kung Fu epic in my Marvel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like we have said before, these Marvel movies, now that they've established what they are, they do the best when they are kind of swaying towards other genres, and kind of the wushu style of filmmaking with this, I think, is going to fit really well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that was some of the stuff, that was some of the good stuff with Guardians, and that was the really good stuff with Doctor Strange, was they were, so outside what we were used to at the time.
Yeah. Next up, November 5th, The Eternals.
Which they did have a short little bit in that video.
I have no idea what any of it is. I'm completely clueless on this one.
Well, The Eternals is another kind of X-Men without being the X-Men. So it's because they botched the Inhumans so bad that they had to move on
Shield.
To The Eternals. Yeah. Yeah. So they're going to be kind of like weird, immortal, the X-Men. Some of the Eternals in Marvel Comics were mistaken for gods back in ancient times. So you're going to have someone who might maybe or maybe not be basically Hercules, kind of that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, Hercules is a character in the Marvel Comics,
but you know what I mean? Yeah. Atlas, I think Atlas is like actually one of the Eternals in this.
Oh yeah. Isn't
Charles Atlas.
Isn't somebody supposed to be Zeus in an upcoming Marvel movie?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I think Russell Crowe is actually supposed to be Zeus. In Thor Love and Thunder.
Interesting, really?
Yeah, that was something I read the other day.
Okay, that's great.
Which means, are they going to throw in, Hercules?
That would be...
Good buddy of Thunder God Thor?
That would be pretty great. That would be pretty great. You know what? Jason Momoa would make a great Hercules.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you'd have to change sides, though.
Yeah, well, whatever. He can make a little more money.
I mean,
that's
James
fine.
Gunn's doing the same thing.
Yeah. But so Hercules in the Marvel Comics is... Imagine Thor from Thor 1, but he never learns his lesson.
He never learns
He's
humility.
He's just always kind of a douche. Kind of a dink. So that's Hercules. So that's the Eternals.
All I know for sure is that Kumail Nanjiani is in it, and he's huge.
He's gotten yoked.
Yeah.
He's too big.
He's not an indoor kid anymore.
He's an outdoor kid. Yeah.
He doesn't fit indoors anymore.
No, he doesn't fit through doors anymore.
He's jacked.
Okay, December.
And that was our rapid fire Kumail jokes.
Bing, bit. Bing, bing. Got him. Nailed it. December 17th, 2021. Spider-Man: No Way Home. We don't know too much about this other than this may have all of the Spider-Mans,
and it'll probably be the last Tom Holland one, I think.
I don't know.
At
least through Marvel until they, I think.
Reach another agreement.
Yeah. I think they're going to reach another agreement. They've already kind of reached an agreement. We didn't talk about this last week, but there was a thing with, right now all of the Sony, Spider-Man movies are on Netflix. In a few years' time, they will all eventually be on Disney+. So that's kind of the agreement that they've worked out.
Virtually all the Spider-Man cartoons are also on Disney+.
Right. Yeah, they'll move on. Yeah, so everything will end up moving over that way. I think Sony's not stupid. I think they're going to reach another agreement where they'll continue to collaborate with Marvel.
Collaborate.
There'll just be another like 3 weeks where everybody's really worried about Spider-Man again.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I think after this point, it's just like, you know, okay, you've cried wolf too many times.
Yeah. March 25th, 2022, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Yeah, this one looks really good. We've talked about this one before. It's skewing more towards the horror end of things. Sam Raimi directing.
This is the one I'm most excited for.
This is going to be a
good
one.
I think this is the one most people are most excited for.
Yeah. Yep. Looking forward to it.
I really like Doctor Strange. Like, Doctor Strange is probably one of my favorites of the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Character-wise, he is my favorite, but his movie I thought was just fine.
His movie was kind of a throwback to the stock standard origin movie.
Yeah, but it also had really good visuals.
Yeah.
That was what kind of saved that movie.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Doctor Strange in a more wild movie that doesn't stick to...
Can you imagine Doctor Strange with the Sam Raimi crash zooms?
You mean like the surgery scene in Spider-Man 2?
Kind of like that. 2 hours of just crash zooms and like...
I can't wait to see Bruce Campbell as like a butler or a doorman.
He's going
to
show up somewhere. You know he's got to.
He's contractually obligated. Oh, Sam Raimi's directing? Well, here's my assistant, Bruce Campbell.
And that car. He puts that one car
in all of
his movies.
He does put that one car in all of his movies.
Oh,
yeah.
That stupid yellow car.
Yeah. May 6th, 2022, Thor Love and Thunder. Don't know too much about it.
Other than...
Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
And Lady Thor.
Yep.
I have not seen a Taika Waititi movie that I did not thoroughly enjoy, so...
Yep. So, gonna be good. Yeah. Gonna be good. This next one's gonna be... is kind of the surprise for me. July 8th, they actually have a date for this one. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. So, they are going ahead with another Black Panther movie, which is great. They have reiterated that they will not be recasting Chadwick Boseman as T'Challa, as Black Panther. So I am really, really interested to see
where
they go,
take it.
Where they take it, what they do with it, how they explain.
Yeah, like what happened.
I'm sure that they will do everything in their power to make it as
respectful
yeah. as humanly possible. And I'm curious to see what their next step is. I'm hoping for Shuri, his sister, to become the next Black Panther.
I mean, they did.
This happened in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if all the things that have happened in the last year or so, I still feel like this one's like one of the worst things. Like, as far as pop culture goes.
Oh, yeah. I feel bad that he passed.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. But I'm just...
It was a real shock.
Yeah, it was kind of came out of nowhere, yeah. But I'm curious to see what they do with this one. Keeping on, moving on.
It's not going
to
be easy. It's not going to be an easy one for him to make,
That one's going to be... And it's going to be tough to watch, too.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to be real tough to... yeah, it's going to be very emotionally charged. A lot of it is going to be...
It makes me wonder if there's like enough like leftover footage or unused footage.
I don't think there was.
Mm. Not to make a whole movie, but at least to be able to piece together something, at least in the beginning of the film.
I don't even think I would like that.
Mm.
Because that's a slippery slope to where you end up with Grand Moff Tarkin showing up in Rogue One as a CGI monstrosity. I don't want Chadwick Boseman's CGI monstrosity.
Rogue One didn't look that bad.
I recently watched Rogue One, and I don't think it looks bad. I think it looks
like a cartoon.
I think the Carrie Fisher is a little questionable, but
yeah,
I think the rest of it was fine.
Okay. Okay, couple more here. Sometime likely in 2022, the new Blade movie with Mahershala Ali. Cool.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm kind of want to see that. I've never seen the other Blade movies, but
the other Blade movies are goofy. They're goofy fun.
Like he fights vampires.
Like
so,
the first one's cool. Second one's kind of...
Blade Trinity is not very
good. Oh, Blade Trinity, the third one, is terrible. Yeah. I hate that movie. Yeah.
But I like Mahershala Ali. He's a very, very strong actor. I've liked him going all the way back to the 4400.
I don't think I've ever seen anything with him in it.
Super good show. He's probably the highlight of that show. He's like the standout actor on that one. He also did a really good job as Cottonmouth in the Luke Cage.
Oh, right, right. Okay.
Show for Netflix a few years ago. November 11th, 2022, The Marvels. So this is the sequel to Captain Marvel.
Yeah, they just dropped that name because we got so many Marvels
now. We now have three variants of Ms. or Captain Marvel. So Carol and Monica Rambeau, who featured heavily in WandaVision and has recently gotten powers. And also Ms. Marvel, who is getting her own show on Disney Plus.
They actually recently leaked pictures
and
of her
costume,
and costume
looks so close to comic
it's
accurate.
Perfect.
It's
yeah.
probably like the closest to comic accurate I've seen. It's really, really good. So it looks like all three of these captains and Ms. Marvels are going to be in this one movie, because the logo, it's the Captain Marvel font, but it has Monica Rambeau's logo in one spot of it. And then it has the S is the Ms. Marvel design on the front of her costume. So great.
Yeah, sounds good.
Super good. Super good, right?
Probably something's going to happen and Captain Marvel is going to be too busy doing something in space. And the other two Marvels will have to take care of it till she comes back.
Right, yeah.
So,
do you think they're going to do any more, like add any more Marvel, like Marvels? Because there is a Marvel boy. There is a...
they'll get the DC Marvels in there.
Yeah, they'll get Captain Marvel.
Yeah, Mary Marvel.
Yeah, Mary Marvel and yeah, Captain Marvel Jr.
So weird. There's a Captain Marvel Jr. Even though that Captain Marvel himself is a child.
That's the one that Elvis really liked.
Elvis really liked Captain Marvel Jr., which influenced his white costume, his yeah. white jumpsuit.
His look, yeah. A lot of his look is inspired by Captain Marvel Jr., which
oh, yeah.
is a weird
It's a weird thing.
Thing, yeah.
yeah. February 17th, 2023, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. I'm calling my shot. That's going to be the beginning of the next major antagonist, like the next major phase of the big Marvel movies, like the big crossover, get them togethers, because the villain... and we talked about this a long time ago, but the villain for this film is Kang the Conqueror, who is a time-traveling space despot.
And we've had space despots before, so...
yeah. yeah, but his whole thing is like, oh no, Ant-Man has discovered the secrets of time travel, and he's screwed up time. I'ma get him. That's kind of the thing.
I'm,
so
I'm always fine. Down for another Ant-Man. I like the other two.
Yeah.
The second Ant-Man is one of the few Marvel movies that I've watched more than one time.
Ant-Man and the Wasp is super good.
It is.
Super, super good.
Ant-Man always, there's always some point in the movie where I'm just kind of chuckling because it's some stupid joke they do.
It's goofy, and it's a heist movie more than anything. It's more than a superhero movie. It's a heist film.
And that's the Paul Rudd effect.
Yes.
Is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. May 5th, 2023, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. And James Gunn is back. He's coming back for the third one. That's all we know about it.
It'd be dumb if they didn't.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Guardians if it wasn't James
yeah.
Gunn.
I wonder if it's going to be kind of like the first one where the current Gamora doesn't like Peter.
I bet you that's going to be a major plot of it. But we really don't know anything about it. All we know is that it's being pushed back this far because he is contractually obligated to finish up Suicide Squad and also the Peacemaker TV series for HBO Max starring John Cena as that big dumb boy.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of weird. I would have thought that Guardians 3 would have came out before Thor Love and Thunder,
mm-hmm.
being the fact that Thor left with the Guardians.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, he's not the big focus of that one, though. Natalie Portman
is really the focus of
yeah.
it. Yeah.
I think he would have been there to at least explain or pass the hammer on. Or,
yeah, yeah, he'll
but
be
wasn't,
there.
But he
that.
Wasn't
yeah.
there to pass the hammer on in the comics.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
No, there was no kind of. I mean, he was. He
yeah.
was, he was there in the fight.
Yeah.
With...
that's fair. Yeah,
with Nick Fury, the... original Nick Fury.
Yes. Who's the Watcher now, right?
Well, he killed the Watcher.
And then became the Watcher.
Yeah, he took his eye and they had a fight on the moon.
Comics!
Yeah, yeah, it's dumb.
I just hope they just swing wide and make a really different movie. Because I
be
felt
cool.
like Guardians 2 was already starting to be a little too similar to the
it was
first
a little,
one.
It was a little samey. I liked a lot of the elements they added to it, but it was part of it was a little samey, I guess. But
yeah, it was still a good movie. I just think I don't know if it'll hold up a third time.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So please do something wildly different.
Yeah. Hey, I hate to cut us off here, but we have actually hit time. We've talked about two news articles, and we have hit time for the week. So plenty of stuff to talk about next week. Thank you all for tuning in. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can send us an email, staff@nerdoverload.com, or give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline, 586-372-8020. Leave us a message, and we might play it on the show!
I like this flourish that you're adding at the end of this. 2 weeks in a row, I like it. You can also find all of our back episodes on various podcast apps, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and more. And finally, I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff over at davidpencil.com. So again, thank you all for tuning in this week, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.